This program is produced and provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
Today, we are looking at a stack of documents from June 23, 2026. And, well, they contain this almost impossible contradiction.
Yeah, it's a really jarring contrast when you read them back to back.
Right. Because on page one of this briefing, you have an AI that autonomously discovers a life-saving medical breakthrough. And it does this by physically operating an entire chemical laboratory. Mm-hmm. But then you flip to page two, and that exact same core technology is implicated in mapping like 2,000 military targets in 96 hours.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild.
It really is. I mean, the era of the passive chatbot, you know, the one just sitting there waiting for you to type a prompt, that era is dead.
Completely dead. And the documents we're analyzing today really map out this profound shift on global infrastructure.
Yeah.
We're moving away from these theoretical futures. We're looking at a daily AI briefing that proves these systems are no longer just conversational agents sitting in a browser window. They are actively acting in the physical world.
Exactly.
So our goal for this deep dive is to kind of cut through the density of these reports and explain the underlying mechanics of how these breakthroughs are happening right now and, you know, why they are fundamentally reshaping our immediate reality.
Right. But before we can really look at what these autonomous systems are doing out in the wild, we have to look at the fierce behind-the-scenes battle over who is actually building them.
Oh, yeah. The talent war.
Because the corporate landscape is shifting dramatically right now, and it starts with this massive talent shakeup. The briefing notes that Noam Shazir has left Google DeepMind.
Right.
And he's joining OpenAI as their lead for architecture research.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
For anyone who might not recognize the name, Shazir is a foundational figure in modern AI. He is a co-author of the really famous 2017 paper, Attention is All You Need.
Uh-huh.
And that is the paper that introduced the transformer architecture.
And just to clarify for you listening, the transformer is literally the T in GPT. It is the underlying bedrock that, like, every major language model is built upon. ChatGPT, Google's Gemini, Anthropic's Claude, all of them.
Exactly. It's the core of everything.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because, well, imagine a sports team paying a $2.7 billion contract to secure their franchise player, right?
Right.
Because Google actually spent $2.7 billion in 2024 just to bring him and his startup back into their fold.
Yeah, a staggering amount of money.
And the player still walks away 2 years later to join their biggest rival, no less. I mean, right. Sam Altman even noted he'd been waiting a decade to work with him. It just shows you can't buy loyalty or, like, a permanent moat with cash.
What's fascinating here is what this says about the limits of capital in this industry.
Yeah.
A multi-billion dollar retention package couldn't buy that permanent moat.
Yeah.
And as lawyer Kim Kung Jin provides commentary in our briefing, the true moat in AI isn't just raw compute power anymore. It's the architectural experience.
Right. It's trust in architecture.
Exactly. Think of Google's original transformer, like the modern highway system. Shazir didn't just build a cool car. You know, he helped design the actual concept of the interstate highway.
Wow. Yeah.
So OpenAI bringing him in as lead for architecture research signals they aren't just trying to build a faster car. They want him to design a completely new method of transportation, likely because current models are kind of hitting the limits of what simply adding more compute can achieve.
Well, and they are definitely feeling the pressure to reinvent themselves because the market share numbers in this briefing are stunning. For the first time ever, ChatGPT's global market share has slipped below 50%.
Yeah, that's a huge milestone.
Down to 46.4% in May. Now, I mean, they still have a massive lead in raw numbers. They're sitting at 1.1 billion monthly users.
Which is still astronomically high.
Right, but the pie is splintering fast. Google's Gemini has climbed to 27.7% with 662 million users. And Anthropic's Claude is at 10.3% with 245 million.
And that fragmentation is accelerating for reasons beyond just, you know, the benchmark scores of the models.
Yeah.
The briefing notes this really fascinating correlation.
Oh, with the DoD contract.
Yeah. When OpenAI announced a contract with the U.S. Department of Defense back in February, there was a noticeable spike in people deleting ChatGPT in the United States.
Wow.
Alongside a simultaneous surge in downloads for Claude. So it demonstrates that consumer trust and corporate alliances are actively shifting the balance of power.
Users are paying attention.
They really are. They care about what these companies are doing with the technology behind closed doors.
But Claude isn't immune to the chaos either, right? because our sources show that Anthropic's new Fable 5 model just lost its free access for subscribers on June 22.
Yeah, this just happened.
And this happened because of heavy U.S. Commerce Department export controls that have been ongoing for 11 days. So a massive chunk of users are suddenly locked out of the free tier.
Completely locked out.
And they're forced onto these really expensive APIs. We're talking $10 per million input tokens and $50 per million output tokens.
Which is incredibly steep.
It's double the price of Opus 4.8. And for those of you who aren't deep in developer docs, let me break that down. Mm-hmm. A token is roughly like a piece of a word, kind of like a syllable.
Right. And to understand why this pricing matters so much, we have to look at the mechanics of how these models generate text.
Okay.
Input tokens are the prompt you provide. Processing those is relatively cheap because the system can read your prompt in parallel.
All at once.
Exactly, all at once. But output tokens, the AI generates those, are much more expensive.
Because it's guessing the next word.
Yes. The system has to calculate each word one by one. It's constantly feeding the previous word back into the massive neural network to guess the next one.
Oh, wow.
So it requires a tremendous amount of sustained compute power.
So when a government export control disrupts the free tier and pushes users onto an API where they have to pay for every single output token, I mean, it instantly prices out millions of developers and casual users.
It really highlights the extreme fragility of the U.S. ecosystem right now. These aren't just software products anymore.
No.
They are treated as strategic geopolitical assets. A single trade policy decision can instantly disrupt access to cutting-edge tools for millions of people. It fundamentally alters the economics of using AI.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Because the U.S. is currently obsessed with putting AI behind these expensive API paywalls and export controls, right? But China is doing the exact opposite.
Complete opposite approach.
They are completely erasing the API layer and giving it to 1.4 billion people natively. We are seeing a rollout in China right now that completely dwarfs all of these U.S. corporate battles in sheer everyday human scale.
Oh, absolutely.
Tencent has initiated limited testing of its AI assistant, Xiaowei, directly inside WeChat.
And the scale of this, it really cannot be overstated. WeChat and its domestic counterpart, Weixin, have a combined 1.4 billion monthly active users.
1.4 billion. That is just wow.
Yeah. And the briefing specifies that Xiaowei uses a mix of Tencent's proprietary Whelm and the DeepSeek model.
Mm.
And it uses them to handle complex commands directly within the app's ecosystem.
Right. And if you're listening to this and thinking, sure, Tencent says Xiaowei can do all this, but Siri has been setting my timers wrong for a decade.
You have to understand the technical difference of what is happening under the hood here.
Yeah, it's not the same thing at all. The difference lies in the mechanism of integration. Traditional voice assistants, they operate as thin layers that have to constantly ping external APIs.
Right.
When you ask a traditional assistant to order food, it has to translate your voice into text, send that text to a food delivery app's API, wait for a response.
And hope the formatting actually matches up.
Exactly. Xiaowei is fundamentally different. WeChat is what we call a super app. It already handles messaging, payments, ride-hailing, food delivery natively. It's all built in.
Right. By integrating the AI directly into this ecosystem, Xiaowei possesses the full context of the app.
So imagine if your phone's default assistant actually worked perfectly, right? It doesn't have to translate your request to an external service. It can read your group chat where you are discussing dinner plans,
mm-hmm.
pull up the restaurant's mini program within WeChat, select the items, and process the payment through WeChat Pay all seamlessly.
Yes.
We are talking about 1.4 billion people having their daily digital friction erased overnight.
It shifts AI from being a destination site like ChatGPT, where you have to actively choose to go and type a prompt, to being this omnipresent utility. It anticipates your needs within the digital environment you already inhabit 24/7.
And they are targeting a full release for the third quarter of this year, right?
They are. We are watching the largest overnight deployment of AI integration in human history. It represents the ultimate elimination of digital friction.
Okay, so we're erasing digital friction for consumers, but let's talk about erasing physical friction in scientific research.
This is where things get really crazy.
Seriously. What happens when we stop using AI to hail cabs and start using it to solve massive scientific bottlenecks? Because the briefing details an event that completely shattered my previous understanding of AI.
Same here.
OpenAI and a company called Molecule.One have achieved the first recorded instance of an AI autonomously improving the yield of a drug synthesis.
I think this is perhaps one of the most consequential developments in the entire document.
Mm.
They use GPT 5.4 integrated with Arcadia Science's automated lab system.
Which is called Maria AI, right?
Right. And the system handled the literature review, it designed the experiment, and physically executed the reactions.
Wait, pause for a second. I want to make sure you and I are grasping this. When we say it physically executed the reaction, how does that actually work? Because I'm picturing, like, a humanoid robot walking around in a lab coat holding a beaker.
Right, yeah.
But how does the language model actually control the chemistry? The AI wasn't just printing out a recipe for a human, was it?
No, not at all. It happens through a direct translation of chemical logic into machine code.
Yep.
GPT 5.4 essentially writes Python scripts that directly command automated wet lab equipment.
Wow.
We are talking about robotic arms, automated liquid handlers, and networked chemical reactors.
Mm-hmm.
The language model calculates exactly how many microliters of a specific solvent are needed. It writes the code to instruct the liquid handler to dispense that exact amount, and then monitors the sensor feedback from the reactor in real time.
That is just incredible. And the problem it was tackling is called the Chan-Lam coupling reaction. Now, for those of us who haven't taken organic chemistry in a decade, what makes that specifically so hard for a machine to figure out?
Well, the Chan-Lam coupling is a notoriously difficult problem in medicinal chemistry. Mm. It's used to bond carbon to nitrogen or oxygen. And the difficulty really comes from the sheer number of variables.
Okay.
The success of the reaction depends on incredibly delicate balances of temperature, the specific copper catalyst used, the solvent, the presence of oxygen.
So it's really touchy.
Highly empirical, meaning it historically requires human chemists to rely heavily on intuition, trial and error, over months or even years to find the perfect conditions for a specific compound.
But the AI didn't take months or years. Over 3 months without human intervention, this system autonomously ran 10,080 distinct chemical reactions.
It's hard to even wrap your head around that number.
Let that number sink in. 10,000 iterations. That is an unfathomable amount of physical trial and error, checking its own work, and it worked.
Yeah.
It boosted the average estimated yield of the drug synthesis from 16.6% to 25.2%.
A massive jump.
And for the reactions producing over a 30% yield, that proportion jumped from 15.6% to 37.5%. And human chemists later independently verified all these results.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the paradigm shift here is monumental.
Yeah.
For decades, the bottleneck in drug discovery hasn't just been a lack of ideas. It's been the physical limitation of human hands pipetting liquids and running trials.
Right, the actual labor.
Exactly. We're moving from predictive AI models, you know, systems that just guess what chemical structure might work, to empirical optimization in the real physical world. The AI formulates a hypothesis, runs the physical experiment, analyzes the result, and adjusts its next hypothesis thousands of times over.
So we are looking at a future where the cure for a rare disease might be discovered not by a team of exhausted postdocs working late nights for a decade, but by a tireless machine running 100,000 iterations over a long weekend.
It's completely revolutionary.
But, and here is where we have to pivot the very same computational leap that allows a system to map chemical variables perfectly is also being used to map lethal variables perfectly. We have to look at the dark mirror of this technology.
Yeah, the dual-use nature of AI is brought into very sharp, very uncomfortable focus in the latter half of our briefing document. We shift from the laboratory to the battlefield.
And the catalyst for this revelation is incredibly bizarre. It's a domestic environmental lawsuit in the United States.
Out of all things, yeah.
Right. The NAACP filed a lawsuit against XAI in South Haven, Mississippi. And the allegation is pretty standard for an environmental dispute. XAI allegedly installed 27 gas turbines without the necessary clean air permits.
Mm-hmm.
And these turbines were installed to provide massive amounts of power to the Colossus Data Center, which is the supercomputer cluster that runs XAI's Grok model.
So on the surface, a standard local zoning and emissions dispute until the U.S. Department of Justice stepped in.
Yeah, which is just crazy.
The DOJ filed a motion in federal court to dismiss the NAACP's lawsuit entirely. And their reasoning had absolutely nothing to do with emissions or local zoning laws. They invoked the state secrets privilege.
Wow.
They claimed the lawsuit threatens, and I quote, U.S. national security, economic security, and energy security.
So to justify that extreme claim and get the lawsuit thrown out, the DOJ attached testimony from Cameron Stanley, the AI lead for the Department of Defense.
Right.
And in this public court document, it was revealed that the Grok AI model was actively utilized by the U.S. military in an operation called Operation Epic Fury against Iran.
And the mechanism of how AI is used in this context is chillingly similar to the chemical lab we just talked about.
Yeah.
Instead of processing chemical variables, the AI processes massive, disparate streams of intelligence. Satellite imagery, intercepted communications, geographical data.
It's like a fire hose of information.
Exactly. It processes this information vastly faster than human analysts ever could, turning raw, unstructured data into precise geographic coordinates. According to the court filing, Grok enabled the military to identify and target 2,000 separate objectives in just 96 hours.
Now, to be clear to you listening, our role here isn't to debate the geopolitics of the Middle East, right?
Right.
Or the environmental zoning laws in Mississippi. Both of us want to be very explicit that we are not taking a political stance or endorsing any military or environmental viewpoint.
Absolutely. We are strictly maintaining neutrality here.
Our focus in this deep dive is strictly on the technological through line in these court documents and impartially reporting the astonishing facts revealed in these briefings.
And the facts, as reported, also note a deeply tragic context surrounding these military operations. Separate from the direct DOJ filing, U.S. military investigators have acknowledged potential U.S. involvement in the bombing of the Mina Girls School in Iran, which resulted in the deaths of at least 175 people. Furthermore, external analysis cited in the briefing points to the strong possibility that AI-based targeting systems played a role in that specific strike.
So what does this all mean? We only found out about a highly classified AI-driven military operation mapping thousands of targets because a local community in Mississippi complained about the air pollution coming from the data center's power grid.
It is the most surreal chain of events.
It really is. It feels like a movie plot.
And it forces us to confront this impossible regulatory knot, which Kim King-jin highlights in his legal commentary. On one desk, you have a scientific report showing an AI running 10,000 experiments to create life-saving medicine.
Right.
On the exact same desk, you have a federal court document showing an AI identifying 2,000 targets for a bombing campaign.
Because it is the exact same underlying architecture. It is the same core computational breakthrough. The dual-use problem is no longer like a philosophical debate for college ethics classes. It is literally written in the margins of court dockets and chemistry logs right now.
This raises an important question. Policymakers are now faced with an intractable dilemma. How do you possibly regulate a tool that is simultaneously the ultimate healer and the ultimate weapon?
You can't separate them.
No, because the underlying mechanism processing massive amounts of data to find the optimal solution is identical. If a government restricts the physical compute power to prevent a system from autonomous military targeting, they simultaneously delay the autonomous discovery of the next generation of antibiotics. You cannot cleanly separate the math that heals from the math that destroys.
Man, we have covered a dizzying scope of information from just a single day's briefing. We started with a $2.7 billion talent poaching war that proves human architectural genius is still the ultimate bottleneck, even when models are trained on all the data in the world.
Yeah.
We saw how ChatGPT is losing its iron grip on the market, dropping below 50% share due to shifting consumer trust and expensive API tokens. While 1.4 billion people in China are getting an omnipresent, invisible AI assistant woven natively into WeChat.
And then we explore the monumental shift in empirical science, where GPT 5.4 bypassed the human physical bottleneck, translating chemical logic into machine code to autonomously improve drug synthesis, yields over 10,000 physical lab iterations. And finally, we confronted the stark reality of the DOJ stepping into a Mississippi environmental lawsuit to protect a data center, revealing that the very same computational mechanisms were used to map 2,000 military targets in 96 hours.
I want to reiterate this to you, the listener. It is so easy to hear these stories and feel like we are reviewing a pitch for a sci-fi movie for, like, 2050. But this is the reality of June 2026.
That's happening today.
This technology isn't a novelty anymore. It is deeply, inextricably embedded in the corporate supply chains, the medical laboratories, the communication networks, and the geopolitical conflicts happening all around you right now.
The briefing documents we analyzed today all share one common thread. They all involve AI systems executing complex tasks based on human instructions.
What?
The human is still defining the goal, whether that goal is optimizing a Chan-Lam coupling reaction, organizing a dinner plan on WeChat, or mapping military infrastructure.
Great.
But the velocity of these advancements leaves us with a final thought to ponder. If an AI system in 2026 can autonomously design, execute, and evaluate 10,000 physical chemical experiments, and another system can process massive intelligence data to map 2,000 targets in 4 days, all based on human prompts, what happens to global security and to human discovery when these systems evolve beyond simply finding the optimal path to our goals?
Yeah.
What happens when the underlying architecture becomes sophisticated enough to formulate its own overarching objectives without ever waiting for our instructions?
Wow. We started by talking about the impossible contradiction of this technology. The passive chatbot is completely gone. These systems are walking the halls of our hospitals, running our super apps, and standing on our battlefields, and we are all just trying to figure out what they're going to do next. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.
This program is produced and provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.